if you have not gotten your pen and your paper, I advise you to do so right now because we're about to have a powerful word from the man of God. So I heard the sound right now. I'm turning this call over to our host. I believe that's Minister Tiffany. The call is yours.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, Minister Willa, for seating us and greeting us this morning here on the Master's Call on, you said, Watch God Work Wednesday. How awesome is that? After that word, those messages that we have heard these last few weeks, we are ready with anticipation and expectation with our eyes wide open to see what God has in store for us. So we bless God for each of you who have dialed in this morning. This is the last day of November, November the 30th, 2011. So tomorrow means that it is December, the last month of the year. So we are ready to see what God has in store for us. So truly, we welcome you to the Master's Call. My name is Tiffany Lauderdale, and I live in Inglewood, California, and it is truly a pleasure for me to be up here early in the morning to be with my TMC family, and I look forward to this call on a daily basis because truly God is doing great things on this call, and because we put the Master first, then nothing else is impossible. So I bless God for each of you, and I thank God for the founders of this call, Dr. P.K. Roberts in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon from Dallas, Texas, probably today by way of Prairie View, Texas. I thank God for those mighty women of God who said yes when God gave them the vision for the Master's Call. See, every day we dial into the Master's Call, we are dialing in because we know that our lives are being enriched, empowered, and enhanced as we are believers in Jesus Christ, to know that Jesus died on Calvary's cross for us, and by his blood we are healed. And see, not only did he die on the cross, but in 3 days he rose again that we would have eternal life. So we bless God for each of you, and we thank you for dialing in to the Master's Call. And the scripture reference that this call stands on can be found in Psalm 88:13, which reads, But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. See, when you take your prayer to the Lord in the morning, there's no distractions from what went on through your day. When you take your prayers to God in the morning, he will hear you. See, we seek the presence, the face, and we seek the power and the provisions and the voice of God here on the Master's Call. So we bless God for each of you. If you have missed any of our calls from October the 25th, 2010 to this present day, then I invite you to visit our website, which is available 24/7. And our website address is www.themastersmorningcall.wordpress.com. Once again, www.themastersmorningcall.wordpress.com. And so many of you, and we thank God that you type up emails to us to just share how the Master's Call has blessed you. You send in your prayer requests if you don't speak them on the line, and we appreciate that and know that we do stand in agreement, all the prayer intercessors on this line, to pray for whatever your prayer requests are. Know that they do not go unnoticed or unheard because we enjoy what you guys put in those emails, and we just thank God for what he's doing in the lives of those who listen to this call each day. But if you're out there today and you would like to send an email, then let me give you our email address. TheMastersMorningCall@gmail.com. TheMasters, no apostrophe, MorningCall@gmail.com. So we bless God for each of you who have dialed into this line. And see, the vehicle that brought us all together here on the Master's Call is none other than Artist International. Artist International, a Christian health and wellness business that started over 20 plus years ago by the DSD De Leon family. And see, God gave Mr. Diaz de Leon a vision. And see, he was not selfish enough to keep that vision just for him and his family, but he opened his mouth and he shared the products that he had with others. And as he shared it with others, they shared it with others. And that's all he did. He didn't sell anything. He just opened his mouth and told what the products did. And as he did that, then lives have been changed all around the world. And we thank God for what going on in Artists International. We invite you to tap into your back office call today to find out what the promotions are for the end of the month. Usually we don't just end the month any normal way, but there's always promotions that are put on our table. But see, if you don't call in to find how your life could be blessed with whatever the promotions are, then you'll never know. So if you don't have access to the computer, that's not an excuse. Call the customer service number. Ask the customer service agent truly what is going on. And as Willa said, Godmother Dorothy Cook, she needs Noni juice. So Noni juice is something that she needs. And if anybody is in the Texas area that may have a bottle of Noni juice, if you could contact Dorothy Cook and let her know that you have a bottle and you could run a bottle over, then she would be greatly appreciative of that and to receive that. So at this time, I'm going to ask Minister Willa if she would come back to the line and open us up in prayer. Minister Willa, are you there?
Can you hear me, Minister Tiffany?
If you could just speak a little bit louder, please.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's a little bit better. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Psalm 66, 1 through 3 tells us, shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing about the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Hallelujah. Say to God, how awe-inspiring are your works. Your enemies will cringe before you because of your great strength. Father God, we just thank you. Hallelujah. We thank and praise you this morning, for your name is glorious. Your name is the name above all names. Your name is mighty. Your name is strength. Your name is powerful. Your name is our Father. Your name is everything, O God, on the heaven and on the earth. You said that heaven and earth may pass away, but your name shall remain the same. So we thank you, O God. We honor you. We bless your name. Father, we ask you, forgive us of our sins, O God, and just make us to be the people and image of your likeness. We thank you, Lord, for this word that we are going to hear this morning. We thank and praise you for our speaker, Pastor Chuck. Father, you in Isaiah 54 says, the Lord has given me the tongue of the lungs that I shall know how to speak a word in season. To him who is weary, he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the Lord. So, Father, we are here to hear what you have downloaded in Pastor Chuck this morning. We are here, oh God, to take what he has said, what he will preach to us today, and make it a part of our very fibers. Lord, we are here to take the word and share it with someone. Now bless him indeed. Bless his entire household and his congregation, and whatever he touches prospers. Father, we thank and praise for Dr. Vanessa and Dr. P.K. Roberts, the founder of this call, and we thank and praise you for the Diaz de Leon family, that you order their footsteps, be that lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path, in Jesus' name. We thank and praise for each and every person who is on this call, Lord. Like we heard yesterday, let not your heart be troubled. So we just put that along with what Pastor Chuck is going to preach on this morning and what we've heard in the other messages, Lord, and we know, hallelujah, that we can make it because we have the Lord on our side. Now we bind the airwaves in Jesus' name of any attacks that might want to come against that this call goes forth with clarity, with clear transmission, with nothing interfering. And we give you praise right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Back to you, Tiffany.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, women of God, for clearing the airways. And now it is the time that we have gathered for this morning. It's time to hear the word from the Lord. And at this time, it's our speaker that we usually hear every Wednesday on the Master's Call. He really needs no introduction. He is a son. He is a brother. He is a father. He is a pastor. He is a friend. He is a mighty, mighty man of God. He hails from Louisiana, and it is my privilege, my pleasure, and my honor to bring to you that mighty man of God this morning, none other than Pastor Chuck Brown. Pastor Chuck Brown, are you there?
Yes, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
Bless the Lord for you and for all that you all are doing, your assignment, and what God is just calling for with this call. We thank God for our leaders, Dr. PK, Dr. Vanessa, and everyone who participates on this call, and all of the hearers and doers of the word. We bless the Lord for you. I'm going to get right into what the Lord has assigned me to share on this morning. Well, last week I began speaking on a particular subject, It's My Time Now, and I want to just kind of continue in that vein, and I know that God has something that he wants to share with us that's going to bless us. From the book of 2 Kings chapter 5, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, reads a little different. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, the king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But Naaman was a mighty warrior. He suffered, but though he was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. All right? Let's go down to verse 8. But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay, he sent this message to him: "Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel." All right, now let's go down to verse 14. So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself seven times as the man of God had instructed, and his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. This morning, I want to share from this subject, it's my time for restoration. It is my time for restoration. Again, we've been talking about it's my time now. And the premise of these messages is to convince you that now is your time to move. Now is your time to build. It is now your time to get it, go to the next level. To wait any longer is to prolong the season that you're in. But if you understand timing and season, then you understand and know that when God says to move, you must move. This is the season where you need to put more time into your vision than ever before. This is the season that you need to be on your knees and face before God to clearly hear his instructions to you. If you move out without consulting him first, you will fail. If you don't move when he says to do so, you will fall. If you don't follow his instructions to a T, you will remain where you are. It's my time for restoration. What is restoration? Restoration means to cause to turn back, a returning, a making whole again, or to be complete. God specializes in restoration. There are some things that God will turn back in your life. He could turn relationships back to a place of love and peace. What the devil attempts to destroy, God will make whole again. Those areas in your life that are lacking, God will give completion in. Restoration is the reason we're saved today. When Adam sinned, all of humanity was separated from God. There was no way that we of our own accord could put the broken pieces back together again. We were powerless to resemble what we broke or reassemble what we broke. And I emphasize we because the enemy can't make you sin. He can't make you mess up. He can't make you fall. The Bible says very clearly, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But because the Father knew that we could not return to him on his own, he sent his son for the purpose of restoration. Amen. Restoration brings you back to a place that you can't get back to on your own. So when God restores, it's because you could not do it through your own strength, your ability, or prowess. The reason God has to step in is because the situation is above our capability to handle it. But listen to this. Restoration is imperative for progress. If you don't experience restoration, you will find yourself in a state of longing. You'll look at other people's lives and become envious because you remember how it was for you. You remember how it was for you. Hallelujah. You'll remember and look at it and say, you know, God, I remember when it was my time, and I remember when my life was like that. And God is saying to us today, well, you can still have that particular life, but you have to be restored. You have to get back to where I had you. And again, as you're going to see in a moment, it takes total submission to God. It takes total obedience to him, to his word, to his will, to his plan for your life. And you need to understand that in your life, all right? God sent me this word to show you that it is time for restoration. But watch this. Restoration doesn't come without a price. And if you're not willing to pay the price of restoration, you won't experience restoration. So here's the question. Are you willing to pay the price? because the following points are going to show you what restoration costs. First of all, restoration requires seasonal suffering. Restoration requires seasonal suffering. The age-old question that every believer faces at some point or another is, why does a good God allow bad things to happen to his people? If he's so good, like the songs say he is, then why does it seem like the more faithful I am, the more problems I encounter? That's something that all of us ponder at some point on our Christian journey. Always remember this. Victory does not negate suffering. Victory does not negate suffering. There are some things that you just experience for the glory of God. Some stuff we go through is to remind the devil that God is in control. Some situations we come across are to show our haters and enemies alike that God always comes through for his people. Some of the terrible circumstances we have to deal with are there to show us that God is always God, and he's always good, and he's always powerful, and he's always in charge. This is especially true when you begin to experience victory after victory after victory. Here in the scripture that we read, there's a commander who scripture said who was victorious because of the Lord. He had public victory. It was victory that everyone could view. It was victory that everyone could partake in and be blessed. It was victory that helped others. Yet when he returned home from a victorious military campaign, he did so only to face his private suffering. He was suffering with leprosy, a disease known for isolating its victims from everyone else. So although he commandeered a vast army publicly, he privately dealt with this great disease alone. I know I'm the only one who can relate to this, but it is hurtful to have public victories and private sufferings. I know you have it all together, but as the even as a senior pastor, it's often discouraging to have public victories, to be even be celebrated publicly, only to go home to private sufferings. I wonder if anyone knows what I'm talking about. You come to church and you can pray until the skies open and people can feel God's glory, but you go home and you can't even concentrate long enough to pray there because of the confusion and chaos. You come to church or you go into the presence of the Lord, feel so free to worship and free from your struggles, but you go to home to encounter those chains that really haven't broken from you. You can't talk to anyone about it. It's something you deal with alone. Wife is wondering what's up with you. Parents trying to figure out what's going on with you. Co-workers sense that something serious is happening, but they're unable to get through to you because of your personal suffering. God's victory does not immune you to life's defeat. Think about it. Peter, as the leader of the church, whom Jesus said would be the rock of the church, died through upside-down crucifixion. Moses, who was instructed by God to lead the Israelites out of Egypt into the promised land, didn't make it there himself. David, who was loved by God as a man after his own heart, and possibly the greatest worshiper ever, was denied permission to build God's house. They all have public victories, but suffered immensely privately. David never had peace in his life. Paul was constantly in prison throughout his ministry. Elijah was on the run from those he prophesied against. Hosea had to deal with the embarrassment of a cheating wife. In this world, the Bible says, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This poor man cried, scripture further says, Psalms 34, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. In short, a victorious life does not mean that you won't suffer defeat from time to time. It is very rare for a championship team to go out defeated for the season. But check this out. We never care about how many games a champion lost. We only celebrate his or her victory. So don't allow the enemy to cause you to focus on what you've lost or how you've fallen or what mistakes you've made. Focus on the fact that you are still victorious in God. Restoration, number two, requires, this is the second principle, and this is what it costs. Restoration requires that you put your total trust in God over man. You put your total trust in God over man. I want you to look at 2 Kings chapter 5 again, but look at verse 3. It says that one day the girl said to her mistress, I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. Verse 8, but when Elijah, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes in his knee, he sent his message, why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elijah's house. Hallelujah. got to make sure that you understand that restoration requires that you put your total trust in God over man. Really, Pastor, that's what you're going to say today? Put my faith and trust in God over man? That hardly sounds like a price to pay. But, well, before you get all smug, I want you to consider that most of us say that we trust God, but we really don't trust God. We only trust God when it has to do with someone else. In other words, when you're going through, when y'all going through, I'll trust God for y'all. I'll tell you everything's going to be all right. I'll tell you that God's going to work this thing out for you. Oh, but when it's my turn, I don't take the same stance. I had someone recently try to justify a seemingly human response to a particular situation, and she said to take your pastor hat off for a moment, because when you're going through, you don't always want to hear God's going to work it out. And I told her, whether or not I want to hear it does not change the fact that I need to hear it. Our problem is that we trust more in man than we do God. We say we're believing God for a job, but we put up, but put our faith in the interviewer. That's why we spruce up our resume. That's why we don't tell the whole truth about our history, because we think that if we help God out, then we can get what we want. But, baby, God really doesn't need your help. Stop thinking that God needs you to be God. All you're going to do is make a bigger mess out of things. Let God be God. To trust means to accept his judgment. To trust God means to accept his instruction and his wisdom. To trust God, most of all, means to trust his plan. You can say that you trust God all you want, but if you're always questioning his plan for your life, then you really don't trust him. We'll trust the hookup before we trust God. Many of us will trust a get-rich-quick scheme before we trust God. Look at verse 9 and 11, the same verse. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 9 and 11. Look at what the Word of God says. It says this: Naaman went out, chariots waited at the door of the house of Elijah, 11, but Naaman became angry and stalked away. I thought he would certainly come out to meet me, and I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord his God and heal me. Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you what else restoration requires. Restoration further requires humility. Requires humility. This is where we mess up. We will never experience restoration, many of us, because of our pride. We think that certain things are beneath us. We'd rather not have any income in at all than work at certain places. I know some of the truth. This man was crippled because the prophet didn't come out to meet him. The word that would lead to his healing came to him, but he thought that he was above that. Your pride can keep you stuck where you are. Pride is the reason soulmates are divorced. I'm talking about people who God put together. Their egos would not allow them to see beyond what the other person did, nor would allow them to apologize and move on. Pride is the reason lifelong friends stop speaking to each other. The Bible is true when it says that pride comes before destruction and a haughty look before a fall. 1 Peter 5 and 6, very clear. Look at what the word says. It says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. If you want God to bring restoration to you, you are going to have to humble yourself. God will restore you back to a place of honor only after you realize that you need him more than he needs you. Wow. Here's number four. I'm hastening to my close. Restoration requires obeying God's simple instructions. Restoration requires obeying God's simple instructions. Here it is. This is why we don't experience restoration. We refuse to do the little things that God says to do. To be honest with you, we're the ones that make it harder than it has to be. God gave this man the simple instruction of washing himself in the Jordan River 7 times, not 6 times, not once, not 3 times, not 10, but 7 times. If he did that, the prophet said, then his skin would be restored and he would be healed. Again, we mess up because we're like Naaman. There are better ways of doing this. I know Pastor asked us to help with the car wash and dinners and concessions, but there are better ways. Maybe there's no better a way above God's way. Simple instructions. Yeah, go to them and say you're sorry. Simple instructions. Don't watch TV this week. Simple instructions. Stop eating that. Simple instructions. Spend more time with your kids. Simple instructions. Spend more time with yourself. Simple instructions. God says, spend more time with me. see, we're looking for the profound when God is simply saying to love your enemies. We're looking for the philosophical when God is saying to bless them that curse you. We're looking for something that's going to cause a glow from heaven to shine down in the courts of angels to sing when God is simply saying to do good to them that handle you wrong. You will be restored when you do the simple thing. You will be restored when you do the simple task. You will be restored when you do the simple task of forgiving them. Pastor, that ain't easy. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what they did to me. Check it out. I don't care. Neither does it really matter, because we make it harder again than it really is. We hold on to grudges because we think we have to. I can't let them see me as weak. You know how crazy that sounds? It's like all those people who've lost their lives or are in jail because they ain't no punk. You mean to tell me you just couldn't walk away? You mean to tell me you can't just shut your mouth? The devil is a liar. Stop holding back your progress because you won't do the simple things that God is telling you to do. In verse 13, it talks, I won't read it because of time, but it says that Naaman was willing to do the hard and difficult thing. He was willing to run around the building four times or spin around 80 times shouting it's over when God just wanted him to dip himself in a dirty river. But in verse 14, when you obey God, you become restored. That's what I'm trying to tell you, that at the point that you obey what God is telling you to do. I know this ain't no scream, make you happy message, but the Lord wants you to understand that obedience is better than sacrifice. When you obey me, it opens the door and brings you closer to a miracle. I learned that the hard way. Every time I was looking for God to do something great in my life and I was doing something I know God did not call me to do, I was moving further and further away from my miracle. When God said, all you got to do, son, is what I'm telling you to do, and you'll see my hand. I cannot bless you when you're in a state of disobedience. I cannot restore you when you're in a state of disobedience. I cannot heal you when you're in a state of disobedience. I can't deliver you when you're in a state of disobedience, because your disobedience blocks you from me. And if we want to be restored, if we want to be to a place where we're made new again, where we're made whole again, where we're seeing God's hand upon our lives again, we have to obey him. It's my time now for restoration. God wants you to be back to the place where he made you. He wants you to be back in a place of destiny where he created you to be. But it's going to take your obedience. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take you saying, God, I'll do the simple thing. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. And I'll do it consistently. I bless that this word has blessed you. And I pray that this word has blessed you. And I pray that it's touched you in some kind of way. On Friday morning, I'll be continuing in this series. And I pray that you'll be on the line to hear what else God has to say. I love you with the love of the Lord. Nothing you can do about it. It's back in your hands, Minister Tiff. God bless.
Wow, glory to God. What a powerful word this morning. I thank God for revelation and for confirmation to know that it's my time now for restoration. And there were four things that you said that restoration requires. Seasonal suffering, number one. Number two, that you put total trust in God over man. Number three, it requires humility. And number four, it requires you to obey God's simple instructions. So God bless you, man of God, and we thank you, thank you, thank you for that powerful on-time word from the Lord. So we bless God for you and look forward to your message on Friday. And at this time, I would like to ask Minister Kathy, if she would come to the line and seal this call and this word in a word of prayer. Minister Kathy, are you there?
I'm here. Are you able to hear me?
I am. Go ahead, my sister.
Father, we come before you now in the name of Jesus. We bless you for this awesome word that you've sent forth to us today. It's our time for restoration. And Father, we just bless you for the man of God. We pray, Lord God, that you would pour virtue back into him as he's given out to us this morning. Strengthen his body, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that you could continue to bless his ministry, bless his family, and, oh God, that there be total restoration, even in his life, Lord God. I thank you, God, for all that you're doing in our lives. We bless you that you are Jehovah Rapha, Lord God, and Rapha. And we bless you, Lord God, for restoring health, Lord God, to Marie Gaines, Lord God. We bless you for restoring health to Evangelist Beatty, Lord God, and restoring health to Godmother's granddaughter, Felicia Banks, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are God our God, Jehovah Jireh. You're the one that provides our financial restoration for Tammy, Lord God. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. And we bless you, Lord God, as we go out today. We hold fast to what you're doing. We bind every diabolical assignment of the enemy, and we say that it will not prosper. And today, God, we walk in victory. We thank you for restoration in our lives. It is ours to have, Lord God, and we hold fast to it today. We speak it and we declare it. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen and amen and amen. Back to you, Minister.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Minister Kathy, for closing us out. What a powerful and anointing call that we have had this morning. To you, Minister Willow, we thank you for greeting us and opening us up in prayer. Minister Kathy, once again, thank you for closing us in prayer. And to you, Pastor Chuck, man of God, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your yes. So, and to each of you, the Master Call listeners, we would not be here without you. And we thank God for each of you. And we pray as you leave this call right now that you will go out in the marketplace, that you would obey, that you would submit, and that you would accept God's will to be that great minister in the marketplace. Make it a great day. Walk in agape love, and we love you. God bless you, and we will hear you on the line on tomorrow. Goodbye for now.